Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, I tell you, Jennifer, she is really a party pooper.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Jennifer poops at parties, so and people know this.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I poop at parties, but people don't know because I close the door.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Where does she go for it? Does she visit a water closet and make door of the open so people may see and smell things? This sound horrible.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour numero dos here on The Fan. Dirt and Sprague with you on this beautiful Wednesday. Stormy, doomy, gloomy Wednesday that we have.
That rain felt kind of good yesterday. I'm not going to lie. It was nice.
Yeah, we had some nice thunder and lightning storms going on.
I enjoyed it.
Friends that were in Central Oregon, they got real show put on.
Did they? Oh, yeah. I bet. Yeah, big storms over there.
Oh, yeah. They get cool storms over there.
They do. I wish we had more thunderstorms. Like, if I had a weather wish, a little less rain, a little more thunderstorms.
Thunder and lightning storms, kind of the only thing in the weather pattern that, like, should scare the crap out of us, but we actually love them.
We enjoy it.
You know, like...
It's kind of cool. You look, ooh, the house rattled. That was fun.
There's nothing else that really happens. Everything else that does happen, we're kind of like, that's terrifying.
Yeah, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes.
I mean, everything.
None of it's good.
None of it.
Thunder and lightning, I'm okay with it.
We will go to NC State at the bottom of the hour. We roll on the daily ticker is basically committed to the dirty poll at this point. College football is starting in a couple weeks. August 26th, the first game.
That it is.
New Mexico State, I believe, is one of the teams playing in that thing.
You also get the Nebraska-Northwestern Dublin-Ireland game, which I don't know, 9:30 a.m. on Fox on Saturday the 27th.
I'm looking forward to that contest.
I am too. That's going to be a fun one. At least I think it's the only relevant game that day. When you look on that week zero schedule, it sucks. There's nobody really playing, but yeah, Nebraska-Northwestern Big Ten matchup, I'll watch that.
So college football getting closer and closer. Sir, Dirt did the math, and here we go. Top 25 dirty poll, the unofficial but actually the official preseason poll you should pay attention to. Florida was yesterday, and today NC State. So we will go to NC State at the bottom of the hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes, why is Oregon State fan not going to this Portland game? What am I missing about that? Is this just opponent-based? It seems like a good opportunity for a Beaver fan that doesn't like to drive down to Corvallis all that much.
That it does.
A cheap option that's relatively close for you, kind of a one-off. You don't get a lot of these moments. Why aren't they going? And then crunch time is around the corner as well. And don't forget Brady Henderson. I was thinking of Morton Anderson there. Brady Henderson will join us at 8:30. We'll do a check-in with Seahawk camp. It sounds like the quarterback play is awful. Sounds like it's not going well in Seattle.
Did we expect anything less?
I didn't. I think a small percentage of Seahawks fan thought, yeah, it'll be okay. Game manager and run the football. It sounds like they're really worried up there.
They should be.
I saw a thing that said, Brady Henderson said, DK Metcalf burning an opponent wide open down the field. Drew Lock underthrew him.
Hey, at least he got paid, though. That was smart for DK Metcalf. Let me get my money now because I don't know where my numbers are going over the next 2 years.
I would not draft a wide receiver for the Seahawks in my fantasy football. That's all I'll say.
I would not either.
And I love DK Metcalf. But I want to start the second hour of the radio program today talking about Man Camel and the Detroit Lions. I am actively looking to buy Lion gear.
You're that in, huh?
Dude, he had a hat that just says grit on the front. He had a t-shirt that said, what did it say? It said like anti, Oh, I'm blanking. Right when I need to talk about it, I'm blanking. It was like anti-something with the Lions logo on it.
Yeah, he had a few good looks.
And, you know, he gave the speech. We played a bit of the speech of we're going to... And I listened to the whole speech yesterday. I couldn't quite understand his point. Is he saying the good teams in the NFL are in the deep end and they go to land to grab their opponent?
None of it made sense.
But he basically said, we want to be in the shallows and we want to take your ass to the abyss and we'll tread water until we bury you. We played that clip. In that same speech, he says this.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
That is on the drop page forever, sir. Do not delete that, please.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
Would you rather have one ass cheek or three toes? Like, what are you choosing there?
I think one ass cheek. I don't need two cheeks.
What does one ass cheek look like?
I don't know. You just got a lopsided butt. Just one side sticks out a little bit.
Three toes.
How are you going to balance? How are you going to stand on your feet?
Aren't we discovering
you're losing your grabbing abilities?
Aren't we discovering that like some of the toes are unnecessary as we evolve?
Maybe one, but three of them? You don't get
just
to choose
three toes.
You don't get to choose the toes. What if you lose a big toe?
I need a big toe for
you
balance.
You gotta have the big toe.
I think you
have
to.
Speaking of balance, if I finally have one ass cheek, what am I doing on the toilet?
Man, that's a great. I think you're
am
leaning.
Am I falling in? Yeah. What am I doing?
No, I think you're leaning.
You get like a little foam roller kind of thing, and you put it on one. You know, you just need a little pad on one side of the toilet seat.
Oh, that makes sense.
You can sit on the non ass cheek side, sits on the pad, and then you're good. You balance out.
Like the
it's like George when his wallet was too big. He just shoved the wad of napkins into his other pocket to even it out.
Before my grandma died, she had a toilet in her bathroom, and every time I used it when I went to go visit her, it was always funny because I'd sit down and go tss. It was like that inflatable
the little cushy plastic toilet. Vinyl
is that what you buy
seat?
If you have
I
one
think
ass
so.
Cheek
I think
okay,
so
okay all right well he was great. Look, I don't know. From an actual coach standpoint,
like he doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Well, no, that's not fair. That's not fair to say. I didn't take away that he's very into X's and O's guy.
No, he had to apologize to his team after practice because they looked at him sideways because they were like, what the hell are we doing here? He had to have a whole speech. He almost started crying during the speech.
He did almost cry.
Look,
yeah.
Here's what I'll say. Dan Campbell is awesome. He is entertaining. This season is going to be hilarious. My wife watched it with me last night. She loves watching Hard Knocks.
So did my wife. My wife was like, who is this guy screaming?
My wife said the exact same thing. Like, what is going on here? Like, and then Jamal Williams, the speech that we played, like, it felt like an hour of yelling and motivational speeches. And it was, I'm not going to lie to you, buddy, a little overwhelming to me.
A little overwhelming?
It was a little overwhelming. Wow. It was Dan Campbell ranting for like 10 minutes at a time about dragging you into the deep end, none of it making any sense. And then it was the two coaches, Deuce Staley and
Aaron Glenn, audio here,
yelling at each other. Then it was Jamal Williams crying, and then it was back to Dan Campbell yelling at his team about how I love, like, I just, it was a lot, man. It was a lot to process. I was a little overwhelmed.
So you didn't like it?
I mean, it was good. It was Dan Campbell's okay, but it just...
Okay.
It was a bit much last night.
So
I'm not going to lie to you.
So too much rah-rah stuff for you?
Way too much rah-rah stuff.
So you like the nerding out, the...
I mean, a little X's and O's. Can we get to know...
Z-post XY.
Yeah. That wins football games.
Who's their offensive coordinator? Because I thought
I think
it was
Dan Campbell is.
No. No, he's not.
He took over play calling duties last year.
Well, he said he learned from Sean Payton.
That's going to... Yeah.
And I thought... I'm not getting that same
Mark Brunell
vibe.
Is their quarterback coach. Deuce Staley is their running back coach. And Antoine.
Their whole coaching staff is coaches.
It's all former
players. Yeah, it's all former players.
It says Ben Johnson is the offensive coordinator.
Didn't see him one time in that episode.
Didn't reference
not
him at all.
Not one time did they reference anybody named Ben Johnson. We had a linebackers coach, an offensive line coach, the DC, the running back coach.
He was their tight ends coach last year. Now he is their offensive coordinator.
Here is Aaron Glenn and Deuce Staley. So Aaron Glenn's their defensive coordinator, famously a DB for the Jets back in the day. And Deuce Staley, one of my favorite Philadelphia Eagle running backs of all time. He is the assistant coach / running back coach. Here is, they are best friends.
Yes.
And this is what they do at practice together.
He know his own. Ain't no need to even talk about it.
Why are you circling me though?
I'm sorry.
Huh? Why are you circling me?
That's what the vultures do. they just keep circling.
I truly love him.
Yes, love.
But I want to f*** him up between the lines. I'm going to tell you straight up.
Yeah, AG, it's starting right here, baby.
And, dudes, you're absolutely right.
Ain't no doubt.
You want something, we're going to give you something.
Yeah, well, we're going to take it.
We want something, we're going to give you something.
Take it, give us what you want.
Let's go. They always have the best music, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They'll talk.
Stop the screen.
5 yard
stop
route.
The screen. Oh,
you
great. Want to stop the screen. Great, you stop the screen.
You want to talk
I'm happy for you.
Route.
I'm happy for you.
You should be.
Yeah, you stop the screen. I ain't heard you
they
all.
Make it out.
Now you woke up. You forgot to tell him we playing today. You forgot to tell him we playing today.
Yeah, y'all had a one play, and now you want to talk.
He looks scared.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
So your takeaway, you knew you were going to get that. And your takeaway is, I actually don't want to watch this?
No, I mean, I'm still going to watch. You know I'm going to watch Hard Knocks.
This is the best season since when? I was trying to think back, because this is like, they're giving us...
Dan Campbell will make it entertaining, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
My fear is, he is going to, like, it's just going to be Dan Campbell. It's going to be four episodes of Dan Campbell. Like, outside of Aiden Hutchinson, who...
We'll get to that. I have that.
Yeah. People are texting in about some of his family members.
What do you mean?
His mom seemed like a nice lady. So,
oh, he's a gorgeous family. I mean, there's
gorgeous family.
They were sneakily one of the best parts of that episode.
It is outside of him, they did no other player things.
Penei Sewell got a hot minute.
Sure, but there was no like sit down and you know interview kind of situation.
No.
It was basically an hour of Dan Campbell, which it's fine for an episode. I'm just, if you give me four episodes of that, it's going to wear me out.
Really?
I can't do four episodes
of
that.
But you don't get a lot of coaches. This is what's interesting about them. I'm with you in the, this doesn't feel like something that wins in this NFL.
No, it does not at all.
It feels like something that might do decent and well in the early 90s.
Yeah, it's a lot of former players that think that tough guy, we're going to be physical.
Yeah, rah-rah.
Like, yeah, that's great.
Or
you
got
to have a scheme.
Yeah, you got to out-scheme these teams. It's a lot of thought, not just emotion, right?
I was thinking last night the juxtaposition of that Lions coaching staff with Dan Campbell ranting and raving about things that make literally no sense compared to Mike McDaniel in Miami. And just thinking of how opposite of the spectrum you could get of, I would love like a back-to-back episode of, this is what training camp looks like for the Lions.
Yeah.
And this is what training camp looks like for the Dolphins.
I bet you equally as entertaining, but for different reasons in Miami.
He's got a sense of humor. He's funny, but it's more about how do we game plan? How do we execute?
I want to get to this Beaver thing. I'm kind of surprised. Because I was expecting the rah-rah from this team. I don't look at the Lions and goes, X's and O's, out-scheming us.
I'm going to punch you in the mouth.
Why did you guys win?
Because we're tough.
We dragged you to the deep end.
We're championship football when we're tired, man.
Drown your ass.
Here's Aiden Hutchinson, the number two pick. The rookies have to perform every year. Famously, they started in 01. The Ravens had guys imitating Ray Lewis and Shannon Sharp. It was great. Aiden Hutchinson asked to sing or perform in front of the Lions. It screwed up the first time. And then ran it back. Here you go.
She was born like a beauty queen in a movie scene. I said, no, my way, do me, I adore.
It's a little bit of a wind tunnel because the audio, I don't know if HBO's tweeted out the real clip, so it's everybody recording the clip.
Yes, that was the coolest moment I thought of last night.
Really? I think anytime you get a head coach saying this.
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes, I will beat your ass.
I will beat your ass.
I would honestly love
to. Can you pull just the, I will beat your ass?
I would love to take that whole, we need to take the whole Dan Campbell speech because we played a bit of it and that's a part of it. But it goes on for like 5 minutes. That was a long speech, and none of it made any sense.
Some players had a look of, yeah, coach, yeah, coach. And some players kind of had a look of,
What does this mean?
And I would be the latter. Like, what are we talking about right now?
I know. I get it.
Like, every stereotype that you thought was going to be Dan Campbell as a head coach, like, that was, it was all it. And I'm not surprised, but it was, if I played on that team, I think, like, 40% of me would be into that. Like, yeah, let's go get him. Yeah, hammer and nail. I'm ready. And then the other 60% of me would be like, what the hell are you talking about, dude?
The irony of the team record may make this number one, but what is an all-time best clip? 7-9 bowl by Jeff Fisher or this?
Doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
Which would you vote?
I think the one ass cheek.
I think one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass. I think that has to win.
Somebody said my buddy had an accident in a factory and it sheared off one of his cheeks. What kind of
that is a factory I don't want to work at.
He said he has a specialized foam pad. It does great.
Okay, well, you know. Still functioning okay, then that's fantastic.
You could take a cheek. I think I want my toes.
You probably need the toes.
Yeah.
Why is Oregon State fan not going to their Portland game? That's next on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't find any of the shirts that Dan Campbell was wearing last night on Hard Knocks. I'll have to look that up. And I hear everything you're saying, but I'm rooting for him. The Lions have been a dumpster of an organization. At least have them one year where they get, like, the last wild card spot somehow.
Did it say something anti-fragile? Was that it? Somebody texted that in.
It was anti-fragile. There's nothing more Dan Campbell and Lions than
just
that.
A walking cliche. Football guy cliche.
Grit. We're all about grit.
I'm sure that's how Bill Belichick's meetings go at the start of training camp.
Great.
I'm going to drag your ass out to the deep end and drown you.
He would beat every... Well, who would win, Mike Tomlin or Dan Campbell? I think I'm taking Campbell.
I think I'm taking Campbell.
Campbell's a little bigger than Tomlin.
I think the only person that could probably give him a run for his money is Vrabel. Vrabel comes to mind.
Ooh, Vrabel-Campbell would be a good fight.
That'd be a good match. Everybody, I mean, I'm trying to think of other NFL coaches. It's funny how, I mean, we're going the complete opposite direction. Like, that's why the Lions are fascinating. They have, let's hire a meathead who is a, you know, we played football, I played football, I know football, years
sure.
of experience football. And there's so many teams that are going the opposite direction that, yeah, some of these coaches played, but not to a high level, obviously, in the NFL. And they're going, I don't need you to be a motivational speaker. I need you to have brains. That's the route we want to go. And it's funny that they're just, it's two different NFLs right now. And we'll see which one ends up winning out.
Dirt, I have to ask you this. You're not an Oregon State fan.
I'm not.
But we talk about Ducks and Beavs on this show. Oregon State has a game against Montana State in Portland at Providence Park.
They do.
And it's on September 17th. It's a 5:00 kick. Like, everything that Portland-based Beaver fan hates. And I'm put me in this category. I am one of them. I don't like commuting to Corvallis. It's a boring-ass drive.
Well, it sucks, dude. The I-5 drive to Corvallis or Eugene sucks.
Well, and at least with Eugene, like, I know it's a little further. At least the stadium's, like, right off of an exit. Corvallis, you got to drive, like, another 15 minutes off the freeway. You got to worry about speed traps. And the late kick stuff blows. Finally, a game in Portland. And according to Nick Daschle, tons of tickets are available for this thing. I'm kind of curious why. Beaver fan loves to lament, like, hey, you're not giving us enough respect, or our fans are just as passionate. I think that can be true for a percentage of them, but I've been to a lot of Oregon State games in my lifetime. Their attendance was not great. We were at the UW game last year. That was as high a moment as that program has had in a long time. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds funny at 3-0 or 3-1, whatever it was. That game wasn't sold out. And I was at that game. So, like, they've had some turn of the tide here, and they're still not selling their stuff out. Their stadium's been blown to hell. 26,000 can sit in that stadium this year. They have a game in Portland. Game's not selling out. Why? What am I missing with why Oregon State fan would not sell out Providence Park for a football game?
It's hard for me to identify this coming from outside of the tribe. I will say, for a fan base that spends a lot of time criticizing other fan bases, this is a really bad look. There's a lot of Beaver fans in Portland. They're playing in your backyard. The only excuse that I want to give them, at least as of now, is maybe you just haven't thought about tickets yet. I mean, we're still over a month away from this game. I know for myself personally, I'm not a plan ahead kind of guy. Oh, that's right. That game's in 2 weeks. I'm going to go buy tickets now. Like, that's the way I operate in my day-to-day life. So
a slow play.
That's the benefit of the doubt I'm giving Beaver fan of, like, by the time we get there, it's going to be a better crowd and there won't be a ton available. But as of now, you can get tickets for $10 or $15. Yeah. There's not really a bad seat in that stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. You don't have to drive an hour and 40 minutes to deal with traffic. By the way, there's a home Oregon game that weekend. That's the weekend Oregon plays BYU. So I-5 would be an absolute nightmare. Like, this is the... We've been asking for this. I'd love if Oregon played a game a year in Portland. Are you kidding me? I don't have to drive 2 hours?
Different can... Is like Providence Park, like you have to go through Providence Park or the Timbers to buy tickets, or can you?
It's on StubHub. I'm on StubHub right now.
But
I
mean,
tickets.
Like normally people that would buy their tickets through the Beavers, so is it a different setup? That's the only logistical thing I can think of that's causing issues for people that normally go to Oregon State games.
I saw some people in comments on Daschle's tweet. I don't know if this is true, that said Providence is handling the ticket distribution right now, not Oregon State Athletics. Again, I'm not saying if that's true or not. If somebody knows it's the reverse, then let me know. That's a fair thing to wonder. Is it also fair to say, like, how old school are we? We need the distribution from the university. Go to StubHub.
You can go find a ticket. Yeah. Anywhere you need to find a ticket.
When was the last time you went to a team website to buy tickets? I haven't done that.
It was actually to go to the Washington State Oregon State game.
The Washington State Oregon State game?
Yeah, this one coming up.
Oh, really? You went to the team website and stuff?
Yep.
Yeah, see, I don't do that anymore. I go to StubHub.
I do too, usually.
So maybe it's a slow play to what you're saying. They're waiting for the tickets to drop even further in price, and then week of, it's like boom, 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 they get picked up.
I have not seen a lot. You would think locally they would advertise the crap out of that.
I have not seen
a lot of urgency to do that. Well, I think there are some things that can still be done, and maybe, as you said, they're waiting until maybe the season starts to make that mad dash push.
But doesn't it feel good to know you've sold? See, this is the thing. I don't fault anybody for the way they, you know, if I can get $25 off my tickets, I'm going to wait. I'm right there with you. So I'm not criticizing necessarily the approach, but the other angle of this is it's nice to say, hey, it's sold out. Hey, it's sold out. Tickets are gone. They're never really gone, but you know, you get the official, it's sold out in Portland. That doesn't seem to be the case that's going to happen here. It seems like week of, you're going to have a ton of tickets available for discounted prices.
And you're going to get a mad rush on them. Now, to be fair, one of our Beaver fans texted in and said, I literally hadn't looked up tickets or thought about it until you guys brought it up.
Interesting.
Like, maybe it's just out of sight, out of mind for folks, and you don't realize that, we're 2 weeks away from the college football season beginning in week zero. And in 3 weeks, you get Oregon and Georgia in that opening weekend. So this is, you know, it's around
maybe,
the corner.
Maybe, as you've said, Beaver fans for so long, you know, if you wanted to go to a game, you could simply the week of, usually, unless it was, you know, the Oregon game. There were a couple of games you had to, like, get ahead of time if you wanted to get a ticket. But outside of that, if you just want to go to a game, almost always there was tickets available day of.
It's the one thing that I think Beaver fan hates about somebody like me is I don't have a problem really bagging them. And if they're not good, they're not good. If they're middle of the road, I'll tell you that. Like, the one thing that they probably hate the most that somebody like myself says as an Oregon State alum, the attendance is, it's been a problem.
It has been a problem.
It's been a problem for a while now. And I get it. The program doesn't deserve your money. They don't deserve my money. And
there's a lot of night games. There's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot that goes into it. But this program has turned a bit of a tide. Smith is a good coach. And
made a bowl game last year.
That's a big step for them.
Huge step.
They are not a national player. They never will be. But getting to a bowl game and competing and beating Washington, coming close against... they've had some interesting Oregon State football games in recent years. Like, having those things, I can tell you firsthand because I've been to a few games. I go down there and there is this part of me as a radio host that hears from Beaver fan on Twitter and text line. There's a part of me that comes out and it gets a little ugly. And it's like, just shut up. You bitch and moan about not having enough. You don't even go to the games.
You got to go to the games.
You got to go to the games. Like, show me you care enough to go to the games.
And then you can complain about other things.
And yeah. And so, like, there is that part of me. And I love Oregon State. It means a great deal to me. But there is that part of me that's honest. Yeah. That it's like the attendance is just not there. I'm not kidding when I say this. 26,000 is the max capacity for this year's stadium at Reser. Will there even be a sellout of 26,000? I hope that there is, but I need evidence, man.
There's less than, well, the Oregon game's obviously sold out. There were less than 1,000 tickets available for the Washington State game.
Which is a great sign.
That's a fantastic sign.
And there, I think it was similar the parents weekend game, because one of my buddies, his twin daughters are both going to Oregon State, so they're going down.
Good.
And he said that one, yeah, we had to get tickets. So... yeah,
that matters to those coaches. I can tell you.
It matters to the team. It matters to the players, the program.
It matters to those coaches. I've talked to them about this. They go, it's the one little, you know, it's kind of the one thing we just, little more.
That stuff matters. Sometimes their ticket pricing structure is...
A little wonky. Yeah.
Their prices
are a little... like where we sat last year for the UW game, those tickets, I think, were... I want to say they were like $80, and
for the Washington State game on their website, they're $159 for the Washington State game.
Yeah, that's a little steep.
All right, guys, don't go to the game, actually.
It's like, what are we doing here? Come on now.
We're in a recession out here. You're $160 for football tickets?
I know we're against it. A couple of thoughts. So, like, people are texting in about, well, it's downtown Portland. I don't want to go to downtown Portland. Like, I know people that have season tickets to Timbers games. They go to Timbers games. They've had no issues. Like, downtown Portland is not great. Don't get me wrong.
Well,
I'm not
defending. But up there on 21st, like, 23rd.
In that area, you're perfectly fine. Yeah. Somebody said, well, it's not a part of the season ticket package and tailgating is going to be difficult. Like,
That's a weird setup that it's
you're
not.
You're finding excuses to justify
that's my
you
point.
Not going.
Like, it's a, you can get a $15 ticket. So I know maybe you already paid for season tickets and it's not a part of that package. And maybe that's a frustrating point as a season ticket holder. I could get that because it's technically a home game. But for 15 extra bucks, you can go and then just do it like... I know tailgating is not going to be normal. You know, there's a lot of great sports bars, dude. Go hang in a sports bar, watch college football, take an Uber down there, and then walk across the street to the stadium. Like, I would love the opportunity to go to a game that's close by because I hate that two-hour, 40-minute drive.
21st and 23rd up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to two Timbers games last week, and we...
It's unique. You just don't get games like this often, and so because of the stadium and the agreement they had with Providence, it's a unique thing. I do think they'll sell more tickets. It's what that one listener had said, closer to the date.
Yeah, I think you'll get some more closer to the date.
But I'm going to this game, and I don't want to walk into that stadium and see it 79% full and be like, God, you couldn't sell a Providence Park. Even though Montana State's not like...
I love the 5 o'clock kick time too. It gives you all day to kind of get lubed up and get ready to go.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it's going to be a beautiful September 17th too. Great weather. You can't ask for any more than that.
Interesting. Good thoughts coming in at the fan text line, including the ones that think we're morons. I want the feedback. I'm really genuinely curious why that game is struggling to sell tickets. Maybe it's just too far out and people will wait a little longer. So hopefully the prices will drop. Coming up next, the Daily Ticker, we go on to the Dirty Poll. NC State, number 18. What to know about the Fightin' Phil Rivers? The Wolf Pack. Are they a sleeper in the ACC this year? We'll go to the Daily Ticker next. And don't forget Brady Henderson an hour from now to do a check-in on Seahawk camp.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Wednesday, brought to you in the fan by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach online at pelicanbrewing.com. We roll on the Dirty Poll to number 18 in the preseason college football rankings. And number 18 in our poll is the NC State Wolfpack. Joining us now to talk about NC State is Matt Carter at the Wolfpacker on Twitter, the Wolfpacker website and magazine, which is just a great website name and a great Twitter handle. Covered NC State. Matt, good morning to you. Thanks for the time in Portland. I'm going to start with this. The first player we think of when we think of NC State football, we call you the Fightin' Phil Rivers. Is that fair? Is Phil Rivers the first one that should come to our mind?
You know, there's been a lot of great quarterbacks at NC State. So, but yeah, he's my favorite because I went to school with Philip Rivers.
Mm.
So I'll take it. Okay, I would take that one.
What was Phil Rivers like? Did you get to know him at all while he was at NC State? What was he like?
he's the most, you know how he is in public and how he does interviews and all of that. That's him. I mean, he was just a good old country boy who, he loved being a college student. He was already married. I think he was one or two children deep into it by that point.
Well, now we're on to eight.
Yeah.
He's got like 37 at this point, man. He just keeps going. Well, let's look at this year's team, man. So NC State, they're coming off a 9-3 record, 6-2 in the ACC. They're, you know, knocking on the door of a 10-win season. They're returning a lot of talent, including a quarterback. And it's funny that, you know, when I put them on there, I feel like NC State's kind of one of those teams that we just don't, at least out here on the West Coast, you just kind of forget about them. You don't pay a lot of attention to them. You look up at the end of the year, you're like, hey, look at that. They're ranked in the top 15. Is that a fair assessment, you think, of how people around the country view it? And how good is this NC State team going to be this season?
I think that's pretty fair. I mean, I think that's something that a lot of people around the program talk about quite a bit. It's not just nationally. Sometimes even within the state, sometimes within the ACC footprint, they feel like they don't probably get the amount of attention they deserved or earned. I think that's a very fair way to view it. But I will tell you, this year's team has the potential to be the best one for Dave Doran in his 10 years at NC State. And they think there's a window, there's an opportunity. You know, with Clemson maybe not quite being what Clemson's been the past decade, that maybe this is finally a chance for them to kind of get into that ACC championship game and get a little bit more onto the national stage.
Mm-hmm. What would you say the strength of the team is?
A lot of experience and a lot of proven experience. And I told a couple of people that, you know, having a lot of guys back on the team doesn't mean anything if they played like crap the year before, right? I mean, if you were 2-10 and you got 15 starters back, who cares?
Yeah.
But when you have the amount of experience and the amount of all ACC players that NC State has back, the amount of legitimate, you know, potential NFL prospect guys that could be All-Americans. Yeah, this is probably the deepest, most talented, experienced NC State team in a while. And it's just really balanced. I mean, they got an all-ACC kicker. They had the second best defense in the ACC last year behind Clemson. They maybe have the ACC's best quarterback. They got five guys back on the offensive line that have started at least five games last year. They lost their leading receiver, but I think they get the next three or four leading receivers back from last year's team. So there's just so much back. It's very balanced. It's not one where the offense is carrying or the defense is carrying. It's just a lot to like about the team. It's a very balanced team on paper.
Well, and then you get to kind of ease into the year with a comfortable non-conference schedule. Eastern Carolina, Charleston Southern, I believe, Texas Tech, which should be a fun game, then coming to town, and then you get UConn. So it's a manageable non-conference where you're not looking at some landmines there. Number 18, is that a fair ranking, you think, preseason-wise? And then what's the final record? Do they crack that 10-win threshold this year?
You know, I think they will crack the 10-win threshold. You know, I thought that generally think that they kind of belong in that 13 to 17 range, or 18 probably about in the ballpark. Mm-hmm. But I do think they'll get the 10. I think they would have gotten the 10 win last year, but, you know, UCLA had to pull out with their COVID issues. They had to pull out of the bowl game at the last minute.
That's right.
And I think that was, you know, my understanding is UCLA was down to a few defensive linemen going into game day. So that was not shaping up as a good matchup for UCLA. And I think they got a chance for 10 wins. They got to handle Texas Tech at home, new coach at Texas Tech, so you might be getting them at the right time. And then you got Clemson on the road. And, you know, that's kind of a sneaky game to watch for college game day, because both teams could be 4-0. And, you know, NC State was number 13 in the coaches poll. So if they're 4-0 by that point, they may be top 10.
Yeah.
So how will NC State handle that prime time environment at Clemson? That would be a huge early season test.
Yeah, and they got that win last year against them. Devin Leary, one of the players, 35 touchdowns, 5 picks, 3,400 yards. I'm curious, who is the name of this NC State team? You said there's a lot of NFL prospects. I don't doubt that. But what is the name? If you were to talk to somebody on the West Coast and say, watch for this dude this year for NC State, what's the name you'd throw at him?
Well, Leary would be at the top of the list. You know, they're trying to launched a Heisman campaign for him. He went to ACC preseason player of the year. You know, so he's probably the most high profile. But I would tell you the three linebackers they have, all three of them are expected, if they're healthy, to be NFL draft picks, particularly Peyton Wilson. You know, he missed pretty much all of last season, but he led the ACC in tackles 2 years ago. And he's back. He's healthy. He's a freak. You know, Bruce Feldman came out with his college football freaks list, and he had Peyton Wilson on it. He's a legitimate 235-pounder that runs 4.5 in the 40.
Jeez.
So he might be a guy to watch, too. So he's an old school, just want to hit the crap out of you. But he's a freak at it, too. So if he can stay healthy, which is an issue because he does like to play violently, you know, he's another guy to watch.
Yeah, great stuff from Matt Carter. He likes their chances to get to 10 wins potentially this season. And as he points out, keep an eye, October 1st, they're on the road at Clemson. There's a really good chance both these teams start 4-0, and that's a showdown in early October. The Wolfpacker online, wolfpacker.com, same thing for the Twitter handle, at the Wolfpacker. Website and magazine covering NC State football. Matt Carter, hey, thanks for the time out here in Portland, man. We really appreciate it, and the insight on NC State was great.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
There you go. Matt Carter covering NC State.
The Wolfpack are an underrated.
It's a very underrated.
Underrated team when you kind of look at the balance of the ACC, because we're not sure if Clemson indeed will bounce back to what they once were.
We do not.
They did lose to Miami last year in a 1-point thriller, and I think the deciding factor for them came down at the end when they lost to Wake Forest, who, remember, was scoring like 70 points a game, it felt like.
They were last year, yeah.
They were right there, and I don't know what it is. I don't know why. NC State, just a program that's been pretty consistent and stable, and I forget about them every year until we do something like this. I do want to note,
it's such a good accent.
He sounded like Frank Caliendo doing Morgan Freeman in a Southern accent. He had a bit of that going for him, did he not?
I kind of want to pull him saying Texas Tech or Freak and have that be a draw.
Well, when he was talking, I kept hearing Red's voice reading Andy's letter.
Yeah.
To go find the rock that was under the tree. I kept hearing that in my brain. That was a great accent.
That was great. That's why we love going to the Southeast sometimes, man. And NC State, they are a program that we never think about. We never pay attention to. They were 9-3 last year. They're probably going to be 10-2, 9-3 again this year. Their non-conference is an absolute cakewalk. Their quarterback is back. They're returning a ton of talent from a good team last year. And to his point, man, the ACC's wide open. I'm not sure how to feel about Clemson either. People want to crown Miami. That's fine. They got a returning quarterback. Mario's there now. They've recruited better. But like that conference is open, and it's for the taking. And last year you had a Pitt, I believe, Wake Forest ACC title game.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Pitt-Wake Forest?
So Wake Forest's quarterback, I just saw today.
Yeah, he's out with a medical issue. He had to have surgery or something. And so they expect him back at some point, but not anytime soon. So it could be open for NC State to step in the door there. Let's get back into the Oregon State thing, because there's something that another school is doing that I thought was interesting, and this should happen in more places around the country. That was a Day the Ticker brought to you on the Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Morning Crunch, next on the Fan.
Pour the milk.
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast.
Part of a nutritious breakfast.
Hamburger. The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for the Morning Crunch. A look at the tastiest topics in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, the Morning Crunch brought to you in the Fan by our good friends at Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.99 a month. Locations in Beaverton, Aloha, Division Center, and Vancouver. Go check them out, crunch.com. I'll be out at the Glorious House again today after the show. Got a lot to get to in the final hour. I wanted to read a couple thoughts. We're talking about Oregon State, Montana State. So
go Bobcats.
Go Bobcats. There are still tickets available. One listener said, where did this go? $70 for end zone nosebleed seats. Montana State Sprague out here throwing shade like we turned down free tickets. $190 for lower bowl. Get your nonsense out of here, Sprague. I saw that tech. I literally just pulled up the link on SeatGeek.
Yeah.
You go to SeatGeek, Oregon State, Montana State. I can't even begin to count the number of tickets that are available for $15, $20, $25, or $30. Now, the $15 tickets, they suck. I mean, you're talking like the obstructed view. You got the poles and the columns there at Providence Park.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have an obstructed view. But you can get somewhat like end zone seats not that far up. Section 111, row F, $20. one ticket right there.
Row D, $39.
Yeah, I'm just, like, I'm scrolling through SeatGeek. I mean, there, I don't know what that, maybe that listener found a different leak or was found something else, but there
I'm
are
not telling you there aren't overpriced tickets. I mean, we kind of went through that. Again, this is where I become very unpopular with Oregon State fan because I call it out. I mean, the reality is their attendance has been a joke. And, well, you know, everybody's got different financial stuff. I'm not pointing a finger and saying you're an awful human for not going to a football game. I
not
don't go to all the football games. I hate the drive. I hate the kick times. None of that's fun. But they don't sell out. And this year is going to be an interesting test. Like, you've cut your attendance to 26,000 at Reser because of the construction. I'm fingers crossed that those games are sold out. If they're not, like, I don't know what you want me to say. So,
yeah, somebody texted in, you're wondering why ticket sales aren't good for Oregon State versus Montana State, LOL. Like, and I get that. I don't know if that's coming from a Beaver fan or somebody else. I understand that sentiment. And
Montana
State
is actually a good little FCS program.
Sure,
and Oregon
they are.
State doesn't always destroy
Didn't
the
they
FCS
play
programs.
In the FCS title game,
I think they were in the title
year?
Game last year.
I mean, let's not.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
sure.
They were down to their third string quarterback.
Look, I get it. I get it.
This team lose to Sacramento State at home. Don't act like this team's way high and mighty above everything.
I'm not acting like that. But I totally get why fans look at it and say these games suck. They should not exist in college football. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. You should not be playing games like this. You get a small number of home games, and they should be relevant games that people want to watch. I don't want to watch
Oregon.
How
often are you going to get a team to play 2 hours north of where they normally play?
Well, that's the larger point.
And it's going to probably be a win.
But Oregon is playing Eastern Washington on September 10th. That is their second game of the season. They play Georgia and Atlanta, and then they come home. Their first game is against Eastern Washington. What do you want to guess the attendance is going to be for that game?
Probably more than 26,000.
98% full, I would be willing to guess, right? Nobody wants to go to that game. That game's going to suck.
Well, there's a difference between, see, the issue, and this is where it comes in, because people that buy the season tickets, that'll count when you see the attendance figure.
Sold. Sure.
How many people actually are in the stadium that day?
I'd be willing to bet it's about 97% full for a 5:30 kick against Eastern Washington. I'll bet you a beer on that.
I'm not betting against you.
It's the first home game of the year. I'm willing to bet that stadium's nearly full.
I will tell you,
students
too. And I will
there
be
there. Yet.
No, but student section is, that's the wild
They've
card here.
Suck. The student section sucks.
The Oregon student section's trash. They're trying to put themselves, I saw some tweet, it's like, best student section in college football.
No, give me a break. Maybe 15 years
that's
ago.
That's Wisconsin.
When Dirt was there, yeah. Now, no. You Cali kids are built different. You don't show up at kick time.
They're soft.
That will be the barren section. Oregon will, I don't know if it's 97%. I would say it's above 80.
I think there's a passion. I think people are fired up for the start of the year. Not many people are going to the Georgia game because it's in Atlanta and you only get six home games this year. And I think it's going to be nearly packed. But the larger point is you shouldn't play these games. But when you want to criticize about another fan base, like, they're going to show up. They're going to be there. There's going to be 58,000 people there that weekend.
Cougar fans probably showing up for that kind of, it's a rarity. I guess my point is, like, spend your money how you want it, but, like, this is a rarity. This is not happening very often. And yes, the opponent is not Alabama, but, I mean, how often are we going to get a game of Oregon State playing football in Portland? Rarely, if ever. It's a respectable
FCS opponent.
Also, the
other thing is,
and
if it all goes well, the likelihood is they will do it again. But if
that's fair,
they can't buy the tickets or whatever, or Providence Park, and I know the Timbers are mostly operating the stadium now, but if it's...
How many true sellouts, like, will we see on TV there? It looks packed at Oregon State and Reser this year. Not Providence, Reser. Do you think we'll be at 80% of the games, 90% of the games, less than that?
I would probably vote less than that.
Okay.
Just because of the history. I think the USC game will be sold out. You get USC at home, and it's the week after, I think, the Montana State game, is it not?
Well, in those games, too, like, I remember being at Boise years ago when Boise kicked their butt, and Oregon State wasn't good at that point.
I think the conference games,
blue and orange.
I think the conference games are going to look packed.
I hope so.
So I would be willing to bet the USC game will be sold out and the Oregon game will be sold out. We know that.
I think they
those
announced the
out.
Oregon game already.
The other home games you got are Cal on November 12th.
That's
which is,
parents' weekend.
Okay. That's
and
got
then I'm going to the Washington State
it.
Game, and there were less than 1,000 tickets available.
Okay, and then Colorado was the other home game. So you got
that one.
USC,
we'll
Washington State, Colorado, Cal, and Oregon.
But those four of them?
I'd rather watch them play Montana State than Colorado. Hot take, I know.
That is a bit of a hot
by
take.
By Parents Weekend?
That is a bit of a hot take.
Parents Weekends.
Okay, well,
stories.
I got something else. Like, this is, I think, a thing in college football that fans and teams all over the country are trying to figure out, right? Like, we have argued this about kick times and, you know, the whole product is built for television.
It's entirely built for TV.
The television product cannot be beaten. So I think schools and universities and the college football landscape are starting to try and get creative. Like, how do we find ways to cut through that and get people back in? There is a school out there that's doing something that would this make you more likely to go to a game? I'm curious the answer on that. I'll let you know what that is in the final hour of the show. The Morning Crunch brought to you on the Fan by Crunch Fitness, as low as $9.99 a month. Go check them out at crunch.com. I'll be out at the Glorious House again today. We'll talk with Brady Henderson coming up at 8:30. A little check-in on the Seahawks and how their camp is going. Statter story at 8:15. And I might have to carve out some time for the LIV PGA Tour legal battle that commenced yesterday. It was an interesting day in the sport of golf. But we'll start. This team is doing something to try and entice fans to come to their games. Would it make you more likely to go to a game? What a final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.